from LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
Welcome to the next Louisville. This year, WFPL is highlighting youth voices, telling the stories of kids, teenagers, and young adults in our community. Some of that is through long and short-form stories about these youth and their interests, achievements, and challenges. You'll also hear more first-person stories about and by young people in Louisville. As part of this project, we've planned a different kind of platform to let youth talk about the issues that matter to them. Every other month, we'll air a youth talk show, all focusing on different topics in partnership with the Community Foundation of Louisville and We Day Kentucky. This is the fifth one of these shows, and over the next half hour, you'll hear directly from youth in our community. So let's talk about climate change. Here's our panel.
Hi, my name is Bailey Ambergy. I'm a senior at the University of Louisville.
Hi, my name is Scotty Monteith. I'm a senior at St. Xavier High School.
Hi, my name is Nia Douglas, and I'm a senior at the Brown School.
My name is Fernanda Scharfenberger. I am a senior at Prez.
Fernanda came up with all the questions, so I'll turn it over to her.
So happy you guys are here with me today. We're going to be talking about the issue of the environment. And so just starting off, I'd like to know, why do you guys care about climate change, or how has it affected you in your own lives?
So I am actually from Appalachia. I'm from Eastern Kentucky. I was born in Whitesburg, Kentucky, where the Apple Shop is, which that's what most people know it for, or they know about the coal mines there. And also I lived in Harlan County, Kentucky, which is just right next to it for a bit of time. So my papa was a coal miner for 27 years, and then my great-grandpa was a coal miner for 49 years. The reason I got involved in climate justice is because my papa, he actually had a lot of health complications from working in the mines. And I realized that coal actually was causing health complications for people who didn't even work within the mines in my hometown because of the water pollution that it causes, as well as like high cancer rates, polluting the air, things like that. But yeah, my papa actually ended up passing away from black lung disease. The cause of death that the doctor said was a heart attack, but the heart attack was caused because his lungs were not functional from working in the mines for so long and breathing in ash and soot every day. So, yeah, I lost him when I was, like, 13 years old, and I knew I was upset about it, but I didn't know the bigger political implications until I got to college and just learned about climate policy and justice and the actual effects of coal on the environment. And, yeah, I decided something's got to end, and people deserve jobs where they don't have to breathe in toxic fumes and pollution every day, and but still be able to make a living wage and have good health care. So, yeah.
Hey, so I got into the climate change movement because my mom was in the army, so I've been pretty much all over the world, and I've been fortunate enough to see, like, the amazing world that we live in. And because of this, I love nature, and I want my kids to experience the same type of love for nature and the earth. And we were at Glacier Park up in Montana, and I remember them mentioning that by 2030, around 2030, almost all their glaciers would be gone. And that just struck me as something that we shouldn't be okay with. This park is called Glacier National Park, and they're not going to have glaciers in a few years. So that's why I started getting into activism.
So for me, I was born and raised in Louisville, which is very fast-paced and urban, and I just recently got involved within, like, the climate crisis and the movement overall, like, very recently, maybe, like, a couple weeks ago, a month ago or something like that. But for me, it's just being, like, in an urban setting and also in the black community, climate in general and, like, the environment is just not a really mainstream topic, but it has very detrimental effects that we don't even realize. So I think it's important to just spread that to everyone that I know and let them know.
For me, it really connects back to core values and this belief that I have that no young person should have to fear for their life in the place that they call home. And last September, we had a period of really heavy flash floods. And during one of them, a boy at Trinity named Davey passed away during one of these flash floods. And for me, that really woke me up to the impact that the climate crisis was already having on our community of Louisville. And that's kind of what spurred me into taking action and getting involved in the different organizations I'm now active in leadership roles in. So I think one tough thing I hear about from a lot of young people is that they don't know how to get involved, or they don't know what organizations are out there. So kind of my question for you is, what has your own involvement looked like, specifically like which organizations or where have you found opportunities to get plugged in to the environmental movement?
So I started environmental activism when I was a sophomore in high school because my older sister got me into this organization called Our Earth Now that her teacher's husband ran. And through that, I learned about amazing organizations such as KFTC, which is Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, and KSEC, which is Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition, just to name a few other great organizations that you can get involved in. So I also started my environmental club up from a 7-year hiatus. So it's just about keeping an open ear to things.
Yeah, so I actually started working with the Sunrise Movement originally to I learned a lot about how storytelling is important when it comes to climate justice through them, which is super, super valuable and something I've taken with me with my own organization, Resistencia. So with Sunrise, I was able to do a lot of traveling and we were able to host so many awesome things like a debate watch party and all kinds of other great things to help talk about how, you know, a lot of times presidential candidates weren't really even mentioning climate change. And if it was mentioned, it was only mentioned for a short amount of time. So bringing light to that fact, as well as doing the Green New Deal tour stop and things like that. And we've also just done outreach to people in different communities. But now with Resistencia, I really want to focus on like Whitney was saying with the Black community here in Louisville. You know, as a Black woman, I feel and someone who was fortunate enough to, you know, who is biracial and was raised in a very privileged household and things like that, I feel the need to go back and say to, you know, people in the West End of Louisville who aren't really aware, like Nia was saying, of the effects that climate change has on them, the conversation's not happening, you know, saying, hey, do you all know that Black folks are the most impacted by climate change? Like, do you all know how it affects your neighborhood of West Louisville? Even talking about Rubber Town, the documentary and the things that I saw there about children getting cancer and how they can't move because no one wants to move into an area that's so highly polluted. So just making sure that Resistencia is able to reach out to those frontline communities and give that really valuable education.
Awesome. So I also got my start with the Sunrise Movement, both within our local hub that was here in Louisville and also nationally. We did a lot of trainings, and that was kind of my first introduction to gaining the tools I really needed to achieve this structural change that we're kind of aiming to achieve within local and national politics. And then also most recently, as I mentioned before, being a co-lead of the strike that we had here in Kentucky, it was an incredible experience and we had a turnout of over 500 people. And it was about 90% organized by 3 high schoolers under 18 and under. So I think that's really incredible and just a testament to the fact that young people really can take action now and that people do want to listen to that and want to be involved in actions like that. So one thing I think is really clear is that young people are championing this issue of climate change. And so I'm interested to hear about what sources of inspiration have you seen, for example, what young people or other organizations that maybe, Nia, you said you were involved in a specific organization, but I'm just curious to hear what things you guys have been hearing through the news or through friends that serves as motivators and inspirations.
So for me, kind of some context, this summer I was chosen to go on this 6-week trip to study abroad into South Africa. So that was a really good experience. And I met people from across the United States and abroad. And one of my closest friends from Indianapolis, her name is MJ, and she's vegan and she's very pro-environment. And she's the first person that I've ever met to really be involved in stuff like that and to be so passionate about it. So she was the person who kind of ignited my passion within the environment. And I just like to highlight some things that she's done. I know she created a program in her school to take the leftover food from like school lunches to the nearest homeless shelter and stuff like that. And just stuff like that that just inspires me and my passion.
I know it's a cliche, but I remember last year I was sitting in homeroom and I read an article from that Greta Thunberg was interviewed for. And she had this line where she said something like, I know that I want to do everything I can to fight climate change. Like, she didn't want to die knowing that she could have done more. And that made me realize that I wanted to go on strike, because a week later we missed I didn't go on strike when my city had their strike. So reading that article just made me really passionate about wanting to go on strike and wanting to like make my friends go on strike and really encourage other people that like now is the time that we need to act.
I think for me, it's just being in my 20s already. It's really inspiring I'm the only person in college sitting here right now. So it's really inspiring to see people who are so much younger than me already involved in pretty radical climate change activism, things that I probably wouldn't have understood at their age, being from such a small town and just not really having access to that type of education, like social justice education, to really start getting involved. When I see people who are 18 and under and they're out in the streets and they're telling people about policy, and I see like Sunrise post videos sometimes of like little girls that are just so angry, and they're giving their story and saying that they're scared to grow up, and like that kind of stuff is, I mean, it's like I wish I could have been that far advanced at my age. So that's what's really inspiring to me and keeps me going, because I'm like, if I'm in my 20s, like I need to look at their optimism and like take that into my, because it's easy to lose hope, especially as you get older and you have bills and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely love the fact that like their optimism is just so contagious that it helps spread to older folks that are like, wow, if these kids are out here putting their body on the line, then what am I doing?
As young people, what barriers have you faced in trying to enact change as a young person? And what has been the hardest part of being a climate advocate?
Just to begin, like, I guess climate change deniers, that's, it's a science, and people are saying, like, I don't think that's all there. Like, imagine walking into your freshman biology class and being like, I don't think that that's what a plant cell looks like. Mm-hmm. With no prior knowledge, you're just like debating a teacher. Then this teacher's like saying, no, this is what it is. That's what's probably the most annoying thing for me. And just also when teachers are like, oh, you're going on strike that's not going to do anything. And you're like, I think it is. And here's why. Like, the mayor declared a climate emergency because we went on strike. And so I think it's just like the doubt of other people saying that our actions don't matter is also a big thing that I don't like.
Yeah, I would say for me, I have two things that I think are really challenging. The first being that a lot of adults like to comment things like on social media when they see like videos of kids protesting, and they're like, shouldn't those kids be in school? Mm-hmm. Or like, what are they doing? These kids have no idea what they're talking about. And it's just like, so you assume because I'm 18 or under, even though I'm older than that, but like they're seeing like videos of those young kids and thinking, so you're assuming based on the fact that they're in high school that they don't know that climate change is happening. I mean, it's October 2nd and it's 97 degrees outside. Yeah. I don't really think that there's a debate at this point. Like, the fact that people have the audacity to be doing nothing and then talk trash on people who are out there actively trying to make a difference, especially talking down to them because they're children, is very, very frustrating to me. And the other being, both inside and outside the climate movement, I've noticed the lack of talk around things like immigration, things like race, things like being a woman, being trans, like identity and how that plays into climate change. Like, displacement is going to be a major issue. I read an article that said in the 2030s sometime, the Middle East is going to be too hot to occupy. So, like, where are all those people going to go? Mm-hmm. And we know as a country, with the Muslim ban, there's clearly already some disdain towards immigration and with the border situation right now with Mexico. What's going to happen to all these hundreds of thousands of people when they're displaced? And no one wants to address that. No one wants to address the fact that black people tend to be in the most polluted areas of the country. No one wants to address the fact that if we would have not displaced indigenous folks who lived off the land would still be in pristine condition. No one wants to talk about those kinds of things. No one wants to talk about how reparations is a part of climate change. No one wants to talk about that stuff. So that's another really frustrating thing for me is just the lack of intersectionality within the movement, because you just... there's no way we'll be able to solve for the absolutely drastic things that are coming if we don't take absolutely drastic measures.
So some of the challenges that I faced, to reiterate, being in the black community, it really just is not a mainstream issue to a lot of people. So trying to get the word out to them is a challenge. Another challenge that I face is me being very new to this movement is caught the people in my circle off guard. Like, they're used to me being passionate about specific things like race and gender and sexuality and stuff like that. So for me to take on like a whole new topic like the environment and be so sudden and be so radical about it is hard for them to like take me seriously.
Gotcha. And yeah, I think there's definitely an important note to make, and the fact that like those things that you've been advocating for, like racial equality, definitely are so intersectional, as Bailey was saying, with the environmental movement, and that climate change really does impact every aspect of our lives. So for me, being a student, I think, especially in high school, has been really hard, because I don't have that luxury of having like full days to dedicate to climate organizing. And there is this whole, you know, behind the scenes, less glamorous thing that doesn't get talked about much, which is balancing those extracurriculars, those loads of homework you have, along with also having these late night Zoom calls with folks and talking to community leaders and trying to get things done when you see that adults in the room aren't taking that action that's necessary. Okay, so more and more I've been feeling like I've been having kind of some upsetting conversations with other young people around the uncertainty of our futures as young people. And so how has the climate crisis changed how you think about the future, both as a citizen of like this global world that we live in, and also in relation to like your own professional goals and the way you see your future shaping up? And have you had any major life like changes in like what plans you have due to this threat that we face of climate change? So like, I know for me personally, I've definitely always been a high achieving student. And so I had this dream that, you know, I would get into a good college. I would work really hard on academics. And I knew I always wanted to be in the political spectrum of things, but knew like that I would have a platform to be able to advocate for the issues that I care about. But with this looming threat of climate change, and as I've become more educated about it, that's like motivated me to now decide that I'm taking a gap year before I start college to work full time. For the 2020 elections, and also to engage more young people as first-time voters, and to get them plugged into these organizations. And I know, Scotty, that we've had a couple of conversations about kind of your own uncertainty with the future. So do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, the future is really dark, especially when you just like look at the news. It's just day after day you read other things about EPA regulations being cut, or you learn that like there are these programs in place but they're not being enforced because no one, like literally no one, is working under like these organizations, and that just is, it's scary. But like I know it's like it's very pessimistic to think, but like a part of me thinks that like even if we don't succeed, I know that I tried, and that's that's good enough for me to know that like I put up the fight. And all I want to know is that, like, if everyone else thinks that they did their best, because that's, like, what it means to be humans. Like, we survived ice ages. Like, we crossed from Russia to Alaska. Like, that's amazing. The fact that, like, human existence is so cool, and never once have we, like, backed away from an issue throughout history. So I don't know why we would back away from an issue like this anymore.
So kind of like returning to the one part about, do you feel like there's been anything that you've personally decided like that's going to be a change in like your future plans?
When I was little, like eighth grade, so like 4 years ago.
Sorry, that was so long ago for me.
I wanted to be either like in the military or a writer on SNL, and about like sophomore year I realized like I have to do something about climate change. So now I'm applying to the University of Louisville and entering their 3+3 program, which basically, instead of, you just go right into your law degree after 3 years of college. So I'm really shortening the amount of time I'm going to college so I can become an environmental lawyer and fight for the issues of that what I really think are, matter.
I feel like for me as a person who's about to leave school and start figuring out the rest of my life, college, not high school, I feel like it's so often I get the question about whether or not I'm going to have kids because of the fact that climate change is a real issue, which for me, having kids is a little far off. I'm not even 22 yet, but a lot of people do have kids at my age, and so it definitely is a question that's been brought up. And so, yeah, I personally have decided that when I'm older, I would like to adopt. And it's not even necessarily because, you know, a lot of people make the argument that the world's overpopulated. Mm-hmm. My issue is more, if I'm 30 and, you know, it's already 2019 and that's 8 years from now. So that's going to be in like the end of 2020, like of the 2020s, like we're going to be moving in almost 2030. Mm-hmm. How much time do they have left? Mm-hmm. If I have birth, give birth at like 30 and then this kid's like, how much time are they going to have? I genuinely think that, like, mm-hmm. I worry about how much time I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. Like, I think often, will I see my full lifespan because of climate change? Like, and a lot of people think, oh, you're being dramatic. Like, no, I'm really not being dramatic because regardless of the actual just natural heating of the planet, I mean, there's nuclear warfare that is constantly on the brink. Like, I don't know what, like Scotty said, the future's kind of a dark thing to think about right mm-hmm. now in the time that we're in. So that's something that I've thought about. But also, I have decided that I want to write environmental policy with my degree. And I want to, because I'm also going to teach for a little bit, I want to make an intersection between education and like what we learn about climate change growing up and make that connection with climate policy and things like that. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's how I've kind of shaped my future around it.
So I think going off of that, that was definitely a lot of heavy conversation. I think one really important question is how can the environmental movement as a whole have an inspiring and hopeful message that can get people motivated because, like, despite this uncertainty and complexity that climate change presents?
I don't know. Inspiring is, like, hard. I'm very mm-hmm. pessimistic. But, like, mm-hmm. I think just, like, look around and you can see that if so many people are willing to, like, stand up and fight for this, like, I think that you can get inspired by that. And that another piece of inspiration is, it's not over. We have 9 years, about 10 or 9 years. That's a long time. It's not a lot of time, but it's definitely enough time to say, all right, let's get to business. Like, let's get down and just start doing work.
Yeah, I would say, like, if you just look at, I mean, they had two global climate strikes 2 weeks in a row, and mm-hmm. the first one had hundreds of thousands of people, and the next one was almost doubled. So, I mean, within the past 2 weeks, so I mean, you'll see that people, like Scotty said, clearly care about this and are waking up and saying, oh my gosh. And like Scotty said, we have 9 years. If we can get some pretty radical policy out within those 9 years, we could see enough of a change to where we at least have a lot more of a hopeful future than we do at this moment.
Mm-hmm. So I think I've actually been really surprised and felt really supported by the all of the adults in my life who have come out and like said, how can I help or what can we do in order to, because of them recognizing that youth are really taking charge on this issue. And so what action would you like to see out of our own elected officials, and how can adult allies be supportive of us youth and our work?
From officials, I would love to see some concrete policy. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible. So many cities have passed Green New Deals, including New York. So it's like if a local Green New Deal can be passed, that's incredible and a great first step. And if major cities are taking big steps, I mean, especially ones like New York, I mean, if major cities are taking those big steps, then eventually the country can fall in that path. And from adults, honestly, if you're not going to help us, like, take on the work, funding is a huge thing. Yes. We're, especially being a college student trying to organize, like, and pay my rent, it's almost impossible. So if, and we don't have salaries, you know, we don't have jobs like that. Like, I have a part-time job where I get paid like $11 an hour. So a lot of it's like funding to help us throw these events and buy food for people when they come out and helping make sure everybody's fed and all that stuff. That's stuff that adults can help us with because it's kind of hard for us to do it ourselves.
Yeah, totally. And I definitely really resonate with what you said about bringing it to like local politics and like statewide and like citywide. Like at the strike, for example, two of the things that we really highlighted were this no fossil fuel money pledge and also this declaration of a climate emergency, which we are also still waiting on that legislation to go through Metro Council. But I think that in like a lot of the instances, you see like the change come from the bottom up. And so I think in this moment where I feel like my own passions calling me is through local politics and through talking to Metro Council members. And also, we can't forget about this governor's race that's coming up and holding the people who are running for office across the slate accountable and asking them those tough questions of where they stand on climate change and what concrete plans do they have in order, especially for Kentucky being a frontline state in this issue, to help us transform our own society of Kentucky into that future that we want to see.
I think adults, money, like you said, is very, like, I'm 18, I don't have a job because I'm in high school and I run cross country, but I have, for the climate strike, we had two really awesome people say, hey, I'm working with through the Sierra Club, we're going to get you a grant for $1,000, and that was just so good to hear. So money is always a big one. Telling your kid, like your grandkids or like younger kids that you know, saying like, hey, you should get involved. Like, that's also really appreciative.
Yeah. So about the like elected officials and what you want to see from them. I notice a lot of times when I'm in the same space as them and when they're talking directed towards youth, they like to like put pressure on us and say like, get involved within like politics and stuff, like, and write to us and like, well, we hear what you're saying and we'll get back to you and all that. And I just like actual action when we do, because they want us to reach out to them, and then when we do, they're just like, we hear you and we're working on it. It's like fluff words, so if you could actually put action to those words, that'd be great.
Thank you guys so much for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
That was Bailey Ambergy, Scotty Monteith, Mia Douglas, and Fernanda Scharfenberger. This production was part of The Next Louisville, a project supported by the Community Foundation of Louisville. This youth talk show was produced in partnership with We Day Kentucky. The Next Louisville wouldn't be possible without you. To support the work that we do, visit nextlouisville.wfpl.org/donate or look for the link in our show notes. And thank you.